Boom, boom, boom. Open up. It's the Sixers Talk Podcast brought to you by Wilmington University, Wilmview Works, Danny Pommels, and Ben Berry going at it here today. Noah Levick with a day off. And the Sixers kind of took a day off, as it seems, against the Wizards, losing against a Bradley Beal-less squad. We'll get to that. We'll get to Tyrese Maxey and him getting lauded for his skills as he gets a trip to NBA All-Star Weekend, which is coming up here in a couple weeks. A couple days, as a matter of fact. But let's start, Ben, with this Ben Simmons chatter that's been going on. We're getting closer to the deadline, so this is kind of moving up in the rundown a little bit. And, you know, you could start a myriad of places. We'll get to the Bradley Beal stuff. But let's start with these comments from Shaquille O'Neal, because a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was last week, as a matter of fact, Shaq talked about the fact that he felt like Ben Simmons – just needed to get on the court and play, and that he was, you know, being soft and whatnot. And then Ben, according to Shaquille O'Neal on his podcast, decides to jump in Shaq's DM. And we don't know exactly what was said because Shaq wasn't really revealing with that. You can kind of glean some details by the way Nichelle Turner put the screws to him to find out some of it. But basically, Ben was upset that Shaq made those comments about him not being on the floor and being sensitive to the comments from Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid after Game 7 against the Hawks. And Shaq was basically like, I don't care. You still need to get out there and play. What did you make of that? And can you elaborate a little bit more on what you heard and what you felt like the conversation was like between Shaq and Ben in the DMs? Because Shaq didn't give us a whole lot, but gave us a little bit.
So I'm cracked the knuckles, cracked the neck. Several things, Danny, before we get there. One, I'm happy to be back. It's been a minute. Been busy with things, you know.
So for the fans that miss me,
I see the comments on YouTube. You know, I'm happy to be back. For the ones that's going to comment, it's like, oh, this loser is back. Tough luck. So that's one. Two, yo, shout out to Ben Simmons for sliding in Shaq's DMs and – Shaq responding. I've slid in many DMs and none of them responded. Susan Watson from This Is Us is one. We're kind of co-workers. I hope she responds. All right, and three, the most important. Man, it goes back to that scouting report of Ben coming out of college that he doesn't respond well to criticism, constructive or like disparaging criticism. And I think most of the criticism over the past year, if especially since he came into the league, but let's go back to past year, has been constructive. He is, I've said it on this podcast plenty of times, he is a phenomenally talented player, a very good player. He is not a great player because of his huge flaws. And for him to be a great player, he has to make his weakness a strength. And all Shaq was saying was, make your weakness a strength. Don't complain, don't sulk when you're challenged by legends, whether it's him or Charles Barkley or Jalen Rose or anybody from NBA, TNT or ESPN, when they challenge you. Stephen A. Smith, Shaq said, like, Magic played so Jordan could take the next step, and Jordan did what he did, so Kobe and Shaq could take it the next step after that. Then LeBron, now Ben Simmons, and we've heard it for years. Your birthday's coming up. Happy early birthday. And you're a little older than me. I don't know how old. But I know you've heard it longer than me that people, owners and people think these players are just spoiled brats. And Jordan played every game possible. Magic played every game possible. Shaq has admittedly said he was out of shape, but when it count, he was in shape and he played. Kobe, if it was a game, he was playing and he was playing to win. And Ben Simmons, I don't want to speculate about the mental health stuff because if he's really going through things, I hope he gets the help he needs and he seeks. But I understand why people would be skeptical because it only came out after he tried to force a trade. He requested a trade, didn't show up to training camp, and it didn't work out. So then he went the mental health route, and I haven't speculated. I haven't touched on that at all. But for if someone that's been in his shoes, like a Shaq, a four-time champion, an MVP, multiple-time All-Star, also a full-time All-Star MVP. Shaq has damn near done it all. And so if someone like Shaq is critiquing you and critiquing you out of love because he wants you to be better, I would say you probably should listen instead of getting your feelings. Like, you know what? Other people said it, but Shaq saying it, I need to listen.
And I think another point Shaq made, it's like, you know, I know you've probably experienced this. You know, when you look back sometimes on your younger years, you think about wasted time or things that you should have done differently or things that you should have reconsidered or done slower where you rushed through it or whatever it is. Shaq was making the point, like, you know, me and Kobe, you know, we're arguing over whose team it is and having, you know, infighting that way where we could have won, you know, twice as many championships as we did win if we just didn't pay attention to what was a distraction, the nonsense that we focused on instead of just trying to win and play basketball. So, you know, you look at Joel Embiid and the Ben Simmons stuff and, oh, Joel said something about me that I didn't like. You know, coach said something about me that I didn't like. So I'm going to pout and I'm, you know, taking my ball and going home, so to speak. So, like, with that, like, Ben is distracted and taken away from the winning and the success that they could have because he's focused on, you know, the comments that people made about him and how that's affecting him. And, you know, once again, that this mental health thing, you mentioned it. And with that Ramona Shelburne piece, Ben is having mental health issues as it pertains to playing here in Philly. But if he plays somewhere else, it seems like those mental health concerns would be dissipated. So, he could be having mental health issues and he needs to have those things addressed. And I hope he does, you know, find some solitude in that and some comfort and is able to take care of that. But at the same time, that is distracting and taking away from the success and the profession that you've dedicated yourself to and where you want to be great. You want to be an all-time player. You want to be, you know, successful and win titles and things like that. So all of that is taken away from what is most important to you is just a distraction. And I think, like, if you think about Ben and, you know, where he is now and what he could be, you know, he could be an all-time great. He could be the next LeBron James if he just considered the things that have happened to him and how he can be a better player surrounding those things. So I thought, you know, what Shaq said, I agree with his initial comments, you know, him talking about Ben getting in his DM and, you know, the fact that Ben, you know, was upset and Shaq still said, you know what, we did go to LSU, both of us, and we're related and brothers in that way. But at the same time, bro, you know, facts are facts and it is what it is. Like, you need to get on the floor and play basketball and stop throwing away the money, stop throwing away your talent and show what you are. You know what I'm saying? So, go ahead.
So, like, all that, and I'm going back to the criticism, and I might come off as arrogant or boastful, but, you know, I'm joke around. I like making fun of things, especially myself. But in certain aspects of my life, I'm very prideful. And I think for most people in certain aspects, they probably are prideful. I know I'm not a pro athlete because I'm here with you and our listeners. But, you know, as Danny has mentioned before, like, I'm the CrossFit guy, blah, blah, blah. Danny makes fun of me working out my shirt off or whatever. But I want to get better, so I work at it. When I started off in this business, I had people question my sports knowledge and things like that. You know what? I didn't agree with them, but instead of sulking, I wanted to prove them wrong, so they had to eat their words. Maybe it's just people use that term built different. Maybe Ben Simmons just not built that way where he wants to prove people wrong and make them eat their words. He's like, you know what? Oh, I can't shoot? Now I'm going to go out and be one of the best shooters. I'm going to go work on that.
Get out your feelings and get in your bag. Like
exactly. Like,
what's the problem? And that's what kind of makes it feel like there's more involved than what we see, because you've reached these heights of being an NBA player, a number one pick, you know, one and done in college, you know, so successful up until this point, but you get to a certain plateau and it's like, well, I've done enough work. I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to change or, you know, be better at the things I'm not good at. So, and it's an easy, you know, comparison to make between what Joel Embiid has endured and the criticism he has taken, particularly from Shaq, particularly from those guys you mentioned, Charles Barkley, Jalen Rose, whoever, and how he's transformed into what he is now. You know, obviously yesterday, as many people know, back-to-back Eastern Conference Player of the Month awards, which no other Sixer has ever won, Iverson or otherwise. And, you know, this just go speaking to the success and the dedication and the want to and the desire to be better. So, you know, it's tough for Ben to be on this island and, you know, take this staunch prideful stance that I'm not playing for this team ever again. And, you know, I don't fit here. And they kind of stabbed me in the back and whatnot. And the team's still winning without you. They're a game and a half out of the Eastern Conference top seed. They got this Bradley Beal speculation that could be out there, as Beal has supposedly, reportedly softened his stance about being traded. And the Sixers need to make an upgrade. They need to, hopefully, before the trade deadline, make a move that gets them in better position to contend against the Bulls and the Nets. All these teams have multiple all-stars, and the Sixers are really leaning on Joel Embiid and suddenly Tyrese Maxey now. So, I mean, it's really a fork in the road where the Sixers have a chance, maybe with this Bradley Beal stuff, and looking at the Wizards last night, several pieces on their squad that you would love to have if you can include that in the Beal deal. But do you feel like Bradley Beal is the answer to this Ben Simmons saga? Like, would that satisfy you as far as them getting value for Ben, even though Beal makes a ton of money, can opt out after this season if he chooses, opt out of his contract after his season if he chooses to, and will be due a ton of money thereafter? Like, what do you think about Beal being the answer to the Sixers' problems?
I don't know if Bradley Beal is the answer, but he is one of multiple answers. And right now it seems like the best case scenario for all the options that's on the table. I know many people want to wait for either Dame Lillard to ask out or James Harden this summer. I just see Embiid having a historic year. MVP caliber, but historic. Not many people have done this before type year. And I don't want it wasted. So if you can make a deal for Bradley Beal, I say go for it. Hopefully you don't have to give up a Matisse Thybulle or Tyrese Maxey to get it done. Thybulle or Maxey to get it done. But I think – no, not I think. We all know Embiid needs more help on the perimeter, other people to take the pressure off him so he's not – creating for other people, the primary facilitator at times, taking over the game and also anchoring the defense on the other end of the court. So I would say think long and hard about it. Do your due diligence. I think if they made the deal for Beal and made a deep playoff run, got to the conference finals, it's a good chance that Beal might want to stick around in Philly. Who knows? But to stand back and just run it with the team that is how it's currently constructed, I'm not betting on them to make it out the first round. I'm definitely not betting on them to make it out the second round. So if that Beal deal is on the table and Daryl Morey can make it, you got to, for lack of a better term, you got to pull the trigger. You got to make that deal. He was brought into Philly to make things happen. And not just sit like anyone, you could have done it or I could have done it. Just let Ben Simmons sit on the sideline for an entire year. That's what he was brought in for. That's what he's known for. So if this is the best.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Best deal available, make it.
Yeah, and I feel like adding Beal to what the Sixers have pushes Seth Curry to the bench. It teams Maxey up with a veteran guard who we can continue to learn from and grow with, and maybe pushes Maxey for opportunities to play off the ball where Beal can run the point a bit. So I think they still need a little bit more to bolster the bench. Evident last night where they get outscored 53-27 by the Wizards. But hey, if there's, you know, a way that they can configure, you know, one of those other guys, whether it be Dinwiddie or, you know, Rui Hachimura or something to pull one of those guys with Beal in a deal where, you know, you send them, you know, Ben and maybe someone else, whether that be Furkan or I don't want to trade Matisse, but a name that might entice them to give you another player in return that you could really use interchangeably and it could be an upgrade to the bench, I think is really important. So I think the Beal deal seems like the best thing out there. And some closure would be helpful with this Ben Simmons stuff. So whether it's, you know, I really like the fact that they would be trading Ben at 25 for a guy who's also only a few years older rather than Harden or Lillard who are over 30. So that's really appealing to me. But I just feel like it gives you closure. The Beal deal gives you the shooting and the shot creation that you need. It gives you a chance to reconfigure that second group. And maybe there's a way that Joel can sit and Beal can stay on the floor and run with that second unit. And maybe Tobias Harris is included in that because he kind of has that role right now. So it seems like the best deal that's on the table. Personally, would I prefer Jaylen Brown or, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or somebody else like that? So maybe. But I think as things are currently constructed for the Sixers and the Wizards, there's a few other players on the Wizards who you would be happy to, like, maybe pull in with the Beal deal and you get rid of Ben Simmons. And hopefully that can propel the Sixers to greater heights because they need to do something, man. You know, you have games like last night where they come out flat and don't score in the early going and just show their warts in a way against a team that was depleted. Of course, the Sixers didn't have Curry and, you know, Korkmaz and Shake Milton, but you should beat the Wizards at home before you go on the road to finish out a 5-game homestand. But
a tough road stretch coming up.
Yeah, you're playing Dallas. Wizards.
Yeah, Kuzma should not be like.
I think he's the new Sixer killer. I got to give him credit, bro. I think he's the new Sixer killer. The dude goes crazy against the Sixers.
Going crazy, and it's just like you're looking at him, and he's a talented player. I don't want to get it wrong, but you don't want it to be Kuzma. You don't want to be the Kuz, the one killing you. And you just got to sit there and take it.
You do. Like, you do. Come on, and you know, he probably wore some fit in the tunnel that. With an oversized sweater going down to his knees or something, like something crazy. Like you got
something that he could jump out of a plane with.
Right. So you got this dude coming in looking like he's coming out the Louis Vuitton catwalk and then giving you hell on the court. So go ahead.
Oh, so no, before we move on, like the Beal deal, if you can get Maxey Beal, I will insert Matisse at
down. Whoa. We're trading Maxey now?
No. I'm saying it's your starting five. Maxey point guard. Beal as your two. Matisse as your three. Tobias as your four. And your MVP candidate is your five. That doesn't put – because we all know what Matisse is. He's not creating a shot, and we don't want to see him dribble. You got it. Someone else that can handle the ball out there that can create for others because that's not Tobias's strong suit either. Then off the bench, you got Danny Green. You have Shake. I know Furkan was the first name you threw out there, so I have no idea if he's still on the team or not. But you got Seth.
I'm done with the Furkan experiment.
I know you said that last podcast.
I've had enough.
And when you threw out names that you have to include, Furkan was the first name. But you got Seth, you got Danny Green, you got Shake off the bench, you got Niang. Wow, I'm blanking on his name, Andre Drummond, and Embiid's frenemy. Like, that's a good second unit. So, yeah. Before we move on, and because the game last night got sloppy at times, but we're going to get there. Before we move on, it's a week until the deadline. Will Ben Simmons be on the team in a week?
Oh, personally, do I think he will be on the team in a week? I think he will be on the team. I don't think they get a deal that's to Morey's liking, considering the asking price that we've heard. But as Noah pointed out, when Morey was on Mike Missanelli, most of his deals are done around the trade deadline. So they will do something. I don't know if it's going to be a Simmons trade. Man, it is really ramping up to feel like something might get done, but I just don't feel like they're able to pull the trigger at the asking price Morey wants. So I feel like he'll hold on to Ben. So I don't think a deal gets done for Ben, but they have to do something.
As much as I would like something to happen, it's not going to happen. I think we might see Dr. Dre's The Chronic 2 before we see a Ben Simmons trade at this point. And that album is, what, a good 30 years old, delayed at this point.
I mean, the Sixers need better bench pieces. So that would be an easy place to start. And then, you know, rather than the blockbuster thing. So maybe they tinker with the roster and they aren't able to make that Simmons trade happen. But it would be a big waste just to have a season like this for Joel. But as Morey also pointed out on that Missanelli interview, you don't want to, you know, so many people are upset, like, oh, you're wasting Joel's season this year, but you will be also wasting Joel's future if you don't get the proper value for Ben. So, and also, I don't want to be playing Bradley Beal's game. I don't want to be, you know, worshiping at his altar, hoping that he wants to be traded and, you know, then losing leverage with the Wizards because you're trying to pry Beal out of there. Instead of just it being amicable and both sides wanting to make something happen. So I don't want to be held hostage by Bradley Beal.
You know, yes, you don't want to waste Embiid's present, right? And you don't want to waste the future. But you know what also does that? Not moving Ben Simmons for 4 years, wasting the current year and the future if they don't move him. All right, Daryl, if you ever hear this, he probably won't. If you don't ever move Ben Simmons, you're also wasting the future with Ben Simmons. And I hear you not wanting to placate to Bradley Beal's every want and need, but I think that starts with in-house with the front office and the coaching staff putting the foot down about what players want or how things should go. Just let them know this is how things go. And if you have a strong culture, it stands up against that.
He was talking greasy, too, in the playoffs last year. He was all up in everybody's ear. So – I don't think Sixers fans remember that as vividly as maybe I do, but I want to know if he wants to be here. I can't take the chance. I mean, Harden is another example. The dude has an option to opt out at the end of the season. Like, am I trading Ben for like a one-year rental or a half-a-year rental? I don't know how you quite, you know, trade for a guy and then – get his commitment to being here and not opting out, like as a player's choice. So that's a little scary for me.
Do you make that trade, hypothetically speaking, do you make that trade if you're guaranteed a championship at the end of the season, even if it's a 3-month rental?
Yes. 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 I don't care if it's a 1-month rental. If it's going to get me a title, then yes, absolutely. But yeah, of course, we just speaking hypothetically, like there's no guarantee that you'll win the whole thing. And you hope that Beal meshes with what's going on here. But, yeah, man, it's all about the championship for me, bro. You know, I'm going to Los Angeles Rams, putting all my chips in if I have to, because it don't make any sense the amount of nonsense the Sixers fan base and this team has had to endure. I was talking to one of the producers just trying to figure out the last draft pick they had who turned into – a good player like Maxey, like the last draft pick that wasn't like a lottery pick. Like, so okay.
Mikal Bridges?
They didn't get him. They didn't get him, man.
Like, I was watching him the other night when the Suns played on TNT. Yeah. Just so got sad like all
Holiday,
over again.
Maybe. Like Drew Holiday, I think it was like the 16th pick. Like they drafted Nick Vucevic, but he didn't even turn into anything. Like the Sixers have been through enough, man. If a championship, a parade down Broad Street is guaranteed, hell yeah, I'm making any trade.
Okay.
Not trading Embiid like Howard Eskin wanted to on his nonsense, but
respect. I mean, that's a bold hot take to stand on.
It's a bad hot take, is what it is. But you want to take a timeout and then get into the game last night, or just keep it pushing?
Let's take a timeout, get to the game last night, then end with Maxi Rising Stars Challenge.
You heard the man. We'll be right back after this. Make your move in 2022. A Wilmington University education can take you where you want to go. Spring classes start January 10th. Apply today at wilmu.edu. I saw a tweet, Ben, and it went something like, I'm a Sixers fan. I don't worry about playing against contenders. I worry about playing against teams that suck. You know, like they just play down to their competition so often. So many, you know, the announcers and people felt like, you know, Kate and Ala and whatnot felt like, you know, there was an emotional win against the Grizzlies, and that emotional win carried over into the game against the Wizards, where the Sixers were kind of spent in that regard. Whether that's true or not, once again, they play down to their competition. Once again, a Bradley Beal-less squad is able to come into South Philly and spoil the Sixers' perfect homestand. And it just, you know, all those little issues of the turnovers and missing easy shots and getting behind early, all that, you know, comes to a head, and the Sixers just don't come up with the best plays and the best opportunities when it matters most. So it's one of those losses. You're just going to have to take it on the chin and keep going, because, like you mentioned, you got Dallas, you got the Bulls, you got Phoenix next Tuesday, Milwaukee on the horizon, as well as the Cavaliers, all those teams ahead of you and, well, with you in the standings. So, I don't know, man. It was one of those games where you can look at 1,000 different places. You know, Embiid didn't have the greatest night to blame for that, but you got to be encouraged by the way Maxey had played, particularly coming off his game against the Grizzlies. The step back threes, the dunk, the layups, the aggression. And it looks like Maxey's finding that balance between being aggressive and scoring and being the point guard, you know, zero turnovers last night. What did you think, man?
I think Maxey played phenomenal. For most of the game, he was the best player for the Sixers on the court. He played phenomenal. I think last night, in playing down a competition, is a sore sight for the Sixers. It's something that continues happening. And last night, all their shortcomings was on display, whether it was the rebounding, the transition defense, Matisse and Danny Green on the floor at the same time, both in the starting lineup. And I can't put that on Doc because of the options he had on the bench, which, going back to the trade deadline and the market, strengthening that, Ben Simmons not being the only move. But last night's game, and Embiid being outplayed at times by Montrezl Harrell. Kuzma, as you said, the Sixers killer, had some key plays that throughout the game and definitely down the stretch. And all that without Bradley Beal not playing. It didn't leave a good taste in my mouth. Maxey, best player on the court for most of the game for the Sixers. It shows you can build off that. No turnovers. Good player through and through. Makes me excited to see what could happen if you paired him with Bradley Beal.
Untouchable, but, bro. He is untouchable.
I said paired.
I know. I'm just throwing it out there. No, okay. I agree with you. He is untouchable. Way you can fashion a trade where you trade him and get back value. It just won't happen.
All that is just the Sixers' shortcomings were on full display last night against the Wizards, and it shows, like, no matter how good, and I know Embiid wasn't the best he's been over the last month and a half, 2 months, but even if Embiid dropped 50 points and 20 rebounds, like the transition defense and just the ball just being dribbled through the mud, just stuck, it doesn't solve those problems when he has a great game. And the shortcomings finally showed up last night.
And Kyle Kuzma fears no one on the Sixers team. And that's part of he after he body
– Kuz fears no one on in the NBA, which is like irrational confidence.
Yeah, but the way he comes out, this dude's shooting from the parking lot, you know, just out there, just babyface assassin, just killing the Sixers. I just feel like a player like that, man, would just really change the tie on the Sixers because he's, you know, versatile and interchangeable, where it feels like you see him and you look at like Tobias Harris, and Harris seems a little stiffer than like a guy like Kyle Kuzma. But listen, you know, all that being said, you got to win last night. And, you know, you waste this performance from Maxey. It just didn't have enough firepower. And look at the Wizards. Like, they get, you know, like I said, 57 points from their bench. They got six players in double figures. Like, on the flip side, the Sixers can barely get enough consistency to have that type of production from their bench. Okay, yeah, there are other guys who are missing, but the guys who are there aren't bringing the firepower that you would expect or hope for. You know, Niang and Isaiah Joe, like, you shouldn't be dependent on Isaiah Joe to come off the bench and give you those points. I like seeing his development. I like what he's given them, but at the same time, they're just slim on the bench right now with, and I don't even think if they do get back Shake Milton, you can expect him to come back and be, you know, cracking double digits every other game or, you know, contributing the way that you would hope that he would. So, you know, I guess I'm done with the Korkmaz experiment. Matisse Thybul is giving you something in spurts every now and again. They just need to kind of round out the bench a little bit more. And I really think that there is a trade out there for them to make. I don't know if they will make it, but they got to do something by the deadline.
Whew.
Let's talk about the good, though. Let's talk about the good. Tyrese Maxey, Rising Stars Challenge, a shining spot for these 76ers. I'm sure he'll go out and wow some people. I hope he goes out there and has fun. The All-Star Game is in Cleveland. Yeah.
Someone texted me last week, asked me if I was going to the All-Star Game. And I told him I had a sister that lived in Cleveland for 4 years. I didn't go visit her.
Right. So I'm gonna go to work or just to go to watch basketball. Like, the All-Star Game's in Cleveland. So I hope Maxey makes the most of it. And you know, I'm sure there'll be a chance for him to win the MVP trophy. I would imagine he'd be a starter for the sophomore squad. But we'll see.
I'm excited to watch him play in it. I can't tell you the last time I watched the Rising Stars Challenge, maybe Luka and Trae Young, but that was like only towards the end of the game. I usually don't go out of my way to watch those things. So I could read a book or do something more beneficial to my life. But no, I'm going to watch Trae Young. Tyrese Maxey. Excited to see him play in it against his peers, guys that came in the league his year or this past year. It should be fun. Go out and put on for the city. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I want to see him getting his bag of tricks a little bit, maybe some Sham Gods and, you know, those step back. We saw him hit the step back, almost Steph-like
step back three yesterday.
Yeah, last night. So, I mean, you know, it's a good problem for the Sixers to have this kid. I just hope they do him and Embiid a good service by getting them some help and figuring out where Maxey fits exactly. Is he going to be, you know, a second unit guy and leading that group? Is he going to stay a starter? It's weird that they're in this situation because you wouldn't have expected him to develop so quickly. But shout out to Ben Simmons once again, who we started talking about on the podcast. His absence has created this opportunity for Maxey. And we might have like a Lou Gehrig type moment. You know, Ben Simmons got Wally Pipped, bro.
Yeah, he did. You know what? I think when Ben Simmons eventually does get moved, or like if Maxi helps propel this team to heights that is we don't see at this moment, I think, you know, you, me, and maybe some other fans get together, send Ben Simmons a bottle of champagne as a thank you. The league didn't know what the Sixers had in Maxi.
We should hop in his DM like he did Shaq and then see if he responds.
Oh, man.
Or if he gives you the treatment of who was the person that you DM dropped at?
Oh, Susan Watson. This is us, everybody.
All right. That's never happened. All right.
Shooter.
Appreciate you listening to the Sixers Talk podcast. We're going to get out of here. We will be with you next week. The Sixers play Tuesday against Phoenix. So Monday we will have a pod coming your way as they will have battled Dallas and the Bulls. So definitely will be fun to talk about. And hopefully they get healthier here and Curry is back. And the return of Shake Milton has to come at some point. So hopefully he's feeling better as well. But for Ben Berry, I'm Danny Pommels. Thanks for listening to Sixers Talk podcast. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week.